I have the distinct pleasure of having my new best friend, Rebecca Hensley, with me. And if you'll go to your right edge of your screen, scroll down to Fish Management, double-click that puppy, and any moment now we've got some cool stuff to look at.
Exactly.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Scuba Guy. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. You're my new best friend. You know that.
Thank you so much.
All right. So, fish management. Does that sound like you're ordering fish around? Or
well, actually, you really
can't. You give fish promotions or anything?
No, you really can't manage the fish. But what you can do is you can manage some of the people and some of the activities that depend upon the resource. We have about 4 million acres of marine habitat in the 8 major Texas bays and in the Gulf of Mexico that we watch. That's worth over an estimated $2 billion. And that's a lot of money.
A lot of clams.
We have our main charge in coastal fisheries is to basically protect, to restore, and to sustain these resources. And with over 3.5 million anglers and over 10 million people consuming seafood, that's an awful lot to have to actually watch and manage. We do that several different ways. One of those is by investigating, monitoring, or researching. Another way is by enhancing. We do that by increasing habitat, for example, artificial reefs, which we've already heard about, and stocking fish, which we're going to hear about.
All right.
And
I
one
like
of the
fish.
Exactly. One of the last things that we do is public interaction, and that's to get input from anybody who has any kind of interest, economic, social, anything, in the environment and the resource itself. So if you will look on this first page of slides, or pictures, you'll see some of the different fish that we actually pick up in our sampling. There's an awful lot of fish out there and shellfish out there, but these are just some of the primary ones. In our monitoring program, we have information on over 400 species of fish and over 150 species of shellfish. Each of these animals requires different things to grow and to be sustained. For example, oysters will complete their life cycle in the entire one bay system, while shrimp and redfish, for example, will use both the Gulf of Mexico and the bays to complete their life cycle. The adults will go out into the Gulf and they'll reproduce, lay their eggs, the eggs will come into the bays, the animal will grow, and then again grow to adulthood and go back out into the bay, into the Gulf. So both those systems,
transient species.
Actually, you have to watch any of those points. It's real critical to the life cycle of those animals.
Cool.
So if you'll go on to the next page.
I can do that.
Yeah, page 2.
That's the one.
Right. You'll see some of the different gear types that we actually monitor these resources with. And we use different nets and gear for different habitats.
And that's how I got here this morning.
That's exactly, exactly. And I'm going to talk a little bit about one of those too. The first one you see is a bag seine, and that's a net. It's about a 60-foot long net. It's between two poles and it has a pocket in it. That's why it's called a bag seine. It's generally along the shoreline, shallow water, and it targets juvenile or small fish and shellfish. One of the other shallow gears that we use is a gill net, and we set that net. It's about 600 feet long. It's a long one. And we set it along the shoreline at night, pick it back up, and we count everything that is in the net. And a gill net is a gill net because anything that passes through it that's big enough that gets stuck, it gets gilled around its gills.
So it's a little like a roach motel of the ocean.
Exactly.
Just
no,
check in and they don't check out.
Well, actually, we release the live ones, so they do check out.
Good.
Exactly. But these actually target subadult and adult fish. The next picture is a picture of a trawl sample, and that's the net that you were caught in. That's the net.
Kind of trawling kind of guy.
Exactly. They don't just catch shrimp, and that's primarily what we use it for. We do catch other animals in it, but it's a deep water gear, and we use it in the Gulf of Mexico in the deeper parts of the bay, over 4 feet or so.
All right.
And if you'll go to page 3, you'll see one of the last gear types that we have. It is also a deeper mechanism. We use it. It's called an oyster dredge. It targets oysters.
Hence the name oyster dredge.
Exactly. And what we do is we drag it behind a boat and over reefs. Okay. Well, we don't.
We're kind of missing one there.
I know it's coming. Slowly but surely. We do other things. We do other things besides go out and sample in the water. We actually have to talk to people about what they bring in. For example, how much fish or shellfish come in. So we have to go out and talk to recreational fishermen. We do about 10,000 interviews a year talking to recreational fishermen to see what they catch.
It's a lot of forms.
It's a lot of forms. It's a lot of people we talk to, and there's a lot of fish coming in. We also talk to commercial
fishermen. That's a good sign that there's a lot of fish coming in.
There's a lot of fish out there. Yes, it's a good sign. But we also talk to commercial fishermen, and we talk to seafood dealers. So that way we know what kind of human impact we have on what fish we take. There's other impacts. Impacts we really can't do anything about, and those are natural events. And on one of the slides you see is a fish kill that's caused by the freeze. And that freeze is 1983 and 84.
I remember the 83 freeze.
It was pretty cold, wasn't it?
Wow, water was cold.
Some of those bays froze completely over.
I had to take an ice pick and chip myself out of the ice.
Unfortunately, fish don't have ice picks. So we lost a lot of fish. We also have things like red tides, and we had one in 1986 and one in 1997 that killed over 20 million fish each
time. Holy moly.
So those are natural events. We can't do anything about it. But what we do is that we take the things we can do things about. And if you click down to the next slide, it's a picture of juvenile red drum.
There they are.
And then below that is a graph, is an example of what we do with our data. And this is just, we don't count everything in the water, but what we do is we just count what's in our gear. And this is a bag seine. And it's over about 20-year period. 1977 is on the left and moves to the right of 1998. And those peaks are high abundances, and the declines, that's the low portion. And I put a couple of red arrows in there for when the red tides were, 1986 and 1997, and the stars on the bottom are freezes. And if you notice that the declines in that population in our gear types coincide with those major events. And so we do this with all our gears, and we assess the populations in that manner. And if you'll notice, this fluctuates, which is normal in a natural population. But what we like to do is watch for trends. We like to watch and see if it continues to decline. And if you'll notice that peak after that first arrow, that real tall peak, that is in part, an increase in the red drum population, both naturally, but also one of our tools that we use to enhance the population. About 1990-91, we began intensive stocking of our bays with red drum. We saw a decline in the red drum population, and so we tried to counter that with stocking. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that.
We sure will.
But one of the things that you need to remember is that we may do 6,000 samples a year with all of our gear types, 10,000 interviews of fishermen. We do a lot of sample collections, but everything we do with all the management options that we propose affects everybody, inland and on the coast. Those people who fish, those people who eat fish, those people who are associated with any kind of business, gas, tackle shops, restaurants, hotels, and the biological resources.
But then, you know, there are also some participants. You were talking about sport fishermen.
Yeah.
And so there are certain regulations that have to be set. There are limits of size and possession number.
Right.
And everyone has to play by the rules in order for this to work, correct?
That's right. Exactly.
And that means even the landlubbers have to be careful with what we do with our water up there.
Exactly.
So, because I swim in that water, too.
I do, too.
And, by golly, I don't want to swim in any dirty water.
Neither do the fish.
That's right. So, really appreciate you coming here today, Rebecca.
Thank you very much, Scuba Guy.
You bet. Catch you on the next wave.
All right.
All right.